This apparatus I'm wearing, I think they call it a microphone. I'm not really used to it. It seemed like I got a fly flying around my mouth there and just kind of want to swat at it, you know. Anyway, what can I say about joy that hadn't already been said? Right? Amen. Those songs, there's some good new songs out there, but these old songs are just, they're awesome. And if they can't lift your spirit, well, I just don't know what can. That was just awesome singing, Mike. Thank you. My subject this morning is has been mentioned, is joy and how to have joy. Really just don't know how to start this off. I just love these kids, and they just put a smile on your face, don't they?
Amen.
There's joy in kids. Now, I'm just reminded, this is just out of the blue here, but one situation happened with me and a while back when we lived in Marietta. And it was, my father was out there with me. We was out there, had a big fire going. And my wife, about a month or two earlier, she just bought a new skillet. And as you know, you have to cure them or whatever you have to do to them, which means you got to put them in the fire. And my father's back there watching me work and everything. He's sitting on the swing. And about that time, my wife came out of the back porch with that pot like a pan like this. She's going, my daddy said, "Son, I think you better run." Anyway, joy. Several things that Paul brings up in his book and to the Philippians. And that's what I like to look at. I think we have our title here, How to Have Joy. And there's four things that Paul experienced about joy. And I'd like to just briefly go through them. We're going to spend a little bit longer with a couple of topics in there. But if you will, just turn to the book of Philippians. And I think the first one, well, first of all, what's the four areas we're going to look at? Hindrances to joy could be imprisonment. Hindrances to joy could be people. Hindrances to joy could be things. And hindrances to joy could be circumstances or our circumstances. First of all, let's look at imprisonment. And we can go first to Philippians chapter 1, verse 7, where Paul states, "For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel. You all are partakers of grace with me." Just to prove the point that Paul, to give you a little background, he was in Rome at the time he wrote Philippians. And that was around 68 A.D. He wrote it to the Philippians, the Philippian Christians. And about his predicament there and so forth. And this particular part, by the way, he was not per se behind bars as we think a prison would be. He was under what we would call house arrest. He was part of the Praetorian Guard. And later on in chapter 4, verse 22, he mentions Caesar's household. So he was like what we call today house arrest, which is a very mild part of jail. The fact is, he was retained. He was there. He couldn't get out. If you'll go into the next slide, please, Mike. "Having been filled with the fruit of righteousness," verse 11, excuse me, "which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in this I rejoice. Yes, I will also rejoice. I will rejoice. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through the prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. And just leave that screen there, Mike, if you don't mind. Notice basically what the context is saying is those were there while he was in prison sharing the gospel in a different way. And he didn't go into detail about exactly what they were saying, but he did say the gospel. But they were doing it to cause Paul distress or discouragement in one way or another. But that did not bother him at all. He says in verse 18 again, "What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in this, I rejoice." I'll say it again. I will rejoice that the gospel is being spread. So, even though Paul was in distress being in prison, and they were trying to share a different gospel with him, it didn't bother him. It was the gospel of Jesus Christ, and where they were doing it out of envy or strife didn't make any difference. The gospel was being shared, and this he rejoiced in. How about our lives? Is there anybody in your life, perhaps family member, a friend? Is there somebody putting unnecessary stress or strain on you in any way? Because there's different ways of imprisonment. You don't necessarily have to be behind bars holding on, let me out. You know, it could be bondage one way or the other, right? There's all types of bondages, all types of perhaps strongholds. Might be an habitual problem with some type of sin in your life. It could be a lot of different things. Or, like I said, disgruntled family member or a friend. Is there somebody that you don't have peace with? Take joy in that. Praise God in that. I found it interesting that, by the way, commercial. Do you know the difference between joy and happiness? Well, I'm not sure I do either. But I got some ideas. First of all, let me tell you that if my search was accurate, happiness in the New Testament, or happy is mentioned twice. Happiness is mentioned, not mentioned at all. Now, I guess that could depend on the translation you use. I did research on the New American Standard. But joy is mentioned, I think, in just the New Testament, 931 times. That is awesome. And that could have been the whole Bible, but I don't remember. Either way you slice it, it's a lot. Joyful. In this mode, words, I got carried away when I was doing this, you know, because I thought I figured out how to do it on my tablet. And always and all. That would be important a little bit, too. But joy is, I'd do better if I read it, wouldn't I? Joy is like an inner peace or confidence that we have in God. You experience joy many times as a result of your doing something to please or bring glory to God, which in turn quickens your spirit to an overwhelming joy. Joy is more internal and spreads outward and appears to be happiness. Joy is spiritual and comes from God. Happiness is external and comes from the world. Now, I don't think you can just say that's an absolute fact or absolute truth, but it just seems so real to me that in my life, and I'm sure yours too, we've been placed in situations where we could share the gospel, or we just say a kind word, or just smile at a person, be friendly, be nice, or it could be just anything. It don't even have to involve people. I think a person with a gift of giving. Truly speaking, a person with a gift of giving, they give and they do not want anybody to know about it. They just give. The only person who knows about it is God and them. Well, maybe their bike, but you know. But doing things like that, you're knowing you're doing something that is pleasing and glorifying to God. And that just how do you explain it? Just overwhelmingly within your spirit, the Holy Spirit just brings forth floods of joy within you. And it just kind of, well, I'm feeling good now. It just radiates out. And many Christians think that, I'm happy. And it's easy to misunderstand when it gets kind of to yourself, because we just kind of look at our senses. We have our senses we just kind of look at. And we just get them confused many times. But joy is just something, I think, that comes from the Holy Spirit within you, that excites you when you do something that is pleasing to God. And it could be any number of things, whether it's outright witnessing somebody or just doing something small. And I think that's how joy comes about. And for a Christian, that's quite often, most of the time, that joy comes from within the heart. But for an unbeliever, they probably don't know the difference. But sorry to say. But anyway, that's kind of a little definition on that. And that's what we're pursuing today is joy, not necessarily happiness. Let's go. So Paul rejoiced in his imprisonment. How about people? I want to spend a little time here. Hindrances to joy with people. In Philippians 2, 1 through 5, and we know this verse very well. We all should be able to quote it. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen. Very good words. Well, I guess the thing plainly put is that that's something that Paul rejoiced in. Is there anybody, any one of us, have any resentment or bitterness or ill feelings toward one another? Do we strive to look out for the interests of others more than ourselves? That verse is pretty hard to really look out for the interest of others more than yourself. But when you do, again, that joy just will overflow within your heart. And if we as a church, as a body of Christ, if we have any unforgiven sin, in a bitterness or resentment towards somebody, the Lord will not give you that joy. And as a result, the church will suffer for it. Many times, over and over again in Scripture, where the church, others had to suffer for other people's mistakes. I think about Joshua when they fought against Achan, I think it was. Where Achan had stole some stuff from Jericho, and as a result, 20,000 men of Israel died because of it. Sin is devastating, If there's something in our lives, I encourage you to get it right before your brothers and sisters. It might be a family member. It could be anybody that you meet anywhere. Get it right. Get it right. Paul said in Romans 12:18, I think it is. I think you have that, don't you? As far as it depends on... I'm saying it wrong. But anyway, the way I learned it was, as far as it depends on me, be at peace with all men. Be at peace with all men. You'll live a lot happier life with it if you are. So I'd encourage you. I encourage you to get these things right. Other scriptures, I think, I got to open my Bible for this. Because you don't have it down there? Yeah. Wrong page again, excuse me. What is Bible? I mean, Bible. Oh, me. I think I'll need my glasses too, probably. In 1 Corinthians 13, chapter on love. Should have it memorized. Shame on me. First Corinthians is in New Testament, isn't it? Okay, just read 4 through 8. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag, and is not arrogant. Love does not, excuse me, I don't have my glasses, unbecoming. It does not speak its own. It is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And then he closes this with a fact, an absolute statement. Love never fails. Love never fails. Period. You can't get around that. If you really love your brother, you'll go to him. Bottom line, you'll go to him. Get whatever's wrong right. Even if they don't know it. And you know it. It's hindering your joy with the Lord. Go to them. Go to them. Get it right. Get free. And that joy will return. Dealing with people. Hindrances to joy and dealing with people. How about things in our lives? Philippians 3, 1 through 14. You'd have that? Okay. It was Philippians 3, 1 through 10, and then verse 14. Sorry. You don't have it? Okay. Linda, could you bring in my glasses, please? No, I had them. Can't you just enjoy laughing about these things? Organization. Bobby, I'm not sure these help, but we'll... Philippians 3, 1 through 10. Y'all are a blur. That's better. I don't know you're out there. Finally, 3, chapter 3, 1 through 10. Dealing with things. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write to you the same things again is no trouble to me, and is a safeguard for you. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. For we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. I think my verse that I want to use starts now, but I'm just the type of person, how can you leave verse 1, 2, and 3 out? You know, whatever. Verse 4. Although I myself might have confidence in the flesh, or if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more, circumcised the eighth day of Israel, eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, to the righteousness which is by the law found blameless. But, don't you just like the buts in the Bible? You know, wait a minute. A word here. Just have to do a word study on the word but in the Bible. And it's like the word therefore or wherefore. You know, they told you something and they're going to polish it off. And in this case, it's just like God saying, we were all sinners, but God did a work in our life. But God did this. That's just awesome. You know, run across things like that. Another commercial. Anyway, let me get these things out. Don't bother. Verse 7. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ, and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus, which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death. Verse 14, I press on toward the goal of the upward goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Bobby. I think I remember where my glasses are. I brought them up here. I'm dangerous, you know. Whew. And now that I've got them, I probably won't need them again. Anyway. Where were we? Things. And this is hard because when I wrote this, I said, oh my. And I'll tell you why in a minute. Because things. Paul rejoiced in the fact because he had everything. He was a Pharisee in the tribe, the Jewish tribe, and everything was just perfect for him. Just riding along on a cloud. Everything was just right. But God did something in his life. And he was willing to give it all. Give it all up for Jesus. And, of course, the question is for us, are we willing to do the same thing? The rich guy, when he approached Jesus, said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, Jesus said, Jesus knew what his need was and what was hindering him from fulfilling all he needed to be in Christ. Sell things was his problem. Money. Sell what you have and give to the poor and follow me. He went away sad, unfortunately. Could change later, don't know, but things. Is there anything wrong with things? Nothing wrong with things, is there? No. Well, what's wrong with things? Is there anything wrong with things at all, period? I'm glad y'all said that, because I just bought a new car. I'm going to scratch that out and in my notes here. But what's the problem? Worship. Yeah, idolatry. Worshiping that. Anything that possesses you or takes more time than what you're doing is wrong. It's something that God doesn't want you to do, something you're involved with, whether it's a material thing. Now, I have to admit, I got a lot of things written down here. I said, If I could just have a new car, I'd be okay. Everything would be fine. Or TV or cell phone or whatever it might be. Doesn't make any difference. If we let that consume us and take up all of our time, like that's the best thing in the world. I've got to do it all the time. And it might be considered something that's in the way between you and God. God, remember, God's number one, right? Agree? Number one. Amen. So, things can rob our joy of the Lord Jesus. I got about 10 more minutes, which means I got 15 more minutes. Is that cool with everybody? This is the part I like. Might tell you it's more than this. I don't know. Circumstances. Wow. Hindrances to joy in our everyday circumstances. Philippians 4:10-13. Oh boy, I don't need my glasses. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have received your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I'm in, or I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In every circumstances, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Jesus Christ, who strengthens me. Sorry, I quote some verses now. I memorized it out of the King James, and that was New American Standard, so you get the idea. Sorry. Anyway, circumstances. somebody mentioned, well, it was in a song, wasn't it, about sitting down on a tack? just as plain as day, I working on my shed back in Marietta when we lived there, and I was just hammering away and got another nail and just hold it there, and clear as day, the Lord said, "Lewis, move your fingers." And Lewis didn't move his fingers. And my thumb started hurting when I ever came down. And I just said, "Thank you, Lord." And I swear that pain just practically went away. Went away. Other illustration is, and I'll try to cut this short. This is the main point I want to steer across. But is when I was working, I worked down at the power plant in Smyrna. And my boss, he would always come to me and ask me to work overtime. And man, I tell you, when he did that, my face, it must have been beet red. I want to. Just fighting against that. Just resisting every bit of the way. And this went on for a while. I guess 5 or 6 times. And the Lord just said, "Well, why don't you just thank me for it?" Novel idea. Okay, I'll do that. Okay. So he asked me the next time. He said, "Thank you, Father. Thank you." And after that, I didn't have any more call or any more times you'd come to me and ask me to work overtime. So what's the point? I even said to myself, "Great, another opportunity to witness somebody while I'm pulling this overtime." That didn't happen. You know? Or maybe something other good will come out of it. That didn't happen either. The lesson wasn't for somebody else. The lesson was for me. To raise me up in Jesus Christ. And more and more in the image of Jesus Christ. Romans 8:29. By the way, you do know that Jesus, God the Father, is not tiring a servant. He's preparing or wooing a bride for his son Jesus. What he wants to do in us. And that's what he is doing. Amen. What about little things? What about, actually, before we got started, Mike, it was 5 after 11. I saw the clock when I started. So it's now 12 o'clock. So I still... Well, it's 6 after. Okay. What do we do? Do you think we serve a God by chance? Do you think, what about when we're going home today? If you're going to town, one of the 4 or 5 red lights that LJ has, if you get stopped by a red light, did God allow that? I mean, as Christians, you know, God wants us to have life and have life more abundantly. And He's willing to give us all things. We know all this, right? So if God's just going to lay out a carpet for me where everything's just going to be sweet and rosy, then why did this light... I wanted to get through that light, that green light. Why did it turn red on me? Thank you, Cheryl. And actually, you're right. You are right. But I think it's a little bit more than that. I think if we learn to praise God, to thank Him for all He does, whether it's big or whether it's small, doesn't make any difference. We need to thank Him and praise Him. Because, folks, and I don't know where you stand with respect to the sovereignty of God, but to me, God is in absolute and total control of everything. He's in control of when I go to Atlanta with the 1,500 red lights, He's in control of every one of them. And if He wants to stop me behind every one of them, I should praise God. What if I'm driving down the expressway? Somebody cuts in front of me, right? What should I say? Should I grumble and fight and fuss? Or should I say, thank you, Father. Thank you. What is it doing? What is that doing? What is that doing in me? Giving me the same attitude Jesus had, right? A forgiving attitude, a humble attitude. Linda and I, a good while back, before the hammer incident, or the blue thumb incident, the Lord led us to 2 verses. And this might be sketchy from here on out. I don't know, Mike. I got to kind of hurry, so I'm bypassing some stuff. Led us to 2 verses. Ephesians 5:20, or is it 5:20 or 5:18? I forgot. But the other one is in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 or 20. But it says the same thing. It says the same thing. Do you have a mic? Anyway, I'll give you the King James Version. In all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning who? Who? It says you, but who? Who? Who is it concerned? No. No. I can do all things in Christ Jesus. I can do all... Give thanks. I went blank here. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens... No, that's not it. In all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning me. Thank you, Claude. Me. When we say that to ourselves, it's me. When I say you, I'm pointing at you. Right? But when we read it to ourselves, it's me. And that's the point. Right? Me is the point. In all things, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning me. Right? In all things, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning me. That's the attitude. And God, we ask God, say, Father, would you help us to memorize that verse? And He did, but I get it confused with other verses. But kind of scatterbrain there. No amen is necessary there. I lose track so easy. I guess that comes with age. I don't know. But what was I saying? It's not important. If you ask God to help you memorize that verse, He will do it. You will memorize it. But the important thing is to ask God to bring that verse to your remembrance when you run into situations like this. When you run into situations like this. And it doesn't have, you don't have to sit there and quote the verse. Just with a joyful heart, a humble heart, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. That's all you need. In any kind of life circumstances, I shudder to say this, but anybody with cancer, and I know, I'm speaking because I'm incorrectly speaking, because I really don't know, but the Scripture says, in all things. I think all is mentioned 48 times in the New Testament alone. Excuse me. Aren't you glad we got an all-knowing God, an all-God? We don't have a half of a God. And remember the quote sometimes back that people said that I've received half of the Holy Spirit because they fall into sin or something, and I've got half of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's a person. How are you going to get half of a person? You can't. You get all of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're involved in some type of a sin, you might break off fellowship. But the Holy Spirit's there. And I don't know how a person can live within you, but God said it and I believe it. Simple. Right? So, circumstances come your way, whether they're big circumstances or small circumstances. You can have joy in your heart with the simple thought of saying, Father, I don't know what you're doing in me, but I just want to thank you for doing it. What did 1 Corinthians 6:19 say? That we have been bought with a price. Glorify God in your body. If we've been bought with a price, that means, if I went in and bought a car, it don't belong to me, it belongs to the bank. But if I go in and buy a shirt, that shirt's mine. I can destroy it if I want to. It's mine. We should have the same attitude. We're completely and totally purchased. That's what Jesus did for our salvation. Any circumstances come your way, trust me, you can have joy in your heart by just thanking God for it. And why worry? Why go under any stress? I'll be worried all day long. Just say, Father, handle it. Thank you for it. Praise you for it. And go on. In closing, y'all say, finally, I want you to contemplate there are several scriptures that are, key verses that have just blessed your heart. They bless my heart. In respect to an imprisonment, we see that what imprisonment is in your life? Consider this. For I am confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in me will perfect it in the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6. He will perfect it. That's a promise from God. It will happen. You can't stop it. It will happen. You might delay it by our attitude sometimes, but you won't stop it. Also, we talked about dealing with people. Whatever strength you need in dealing with other people, remember, in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Lewis can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Jack can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. Amen? Amen. You'll love this. The Amplified Version. Oh, here it is. Isn't that awesome? I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. Oh, I love this. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? Thank you, Jesus. Things. Talked about imprisonment, people, and things. Things. Oh, I got to hear things, things, things. More things. Give me more things. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all I need according to His riches and glory in Jesus Christ. Amen. He did not say wants. He said needs. Whatever you need, it'll be there for you. All you got to do is ask. It'll be there. Okay? But that doesn't mean God will supply some of your wants. We just need to be in line with what He wants. Right? But needs. And finally, we talked about circumstances. Whatever circumstances we're in, remember this. In Philippians 2:13, above all, for it is God who is at work in us, both to will and to work. For whose good pleasure? His. His. And until we grab a hold of that and understand it, then we can have joy that He's in absolute control. We can give thanks to everything that comes our way. Whether we know it or understand it or not, doesn't make any difference. Just praise Him and thank Him for it. I mean, after all, it is a better place up there than it is out here, isn't it? We believe that, don't we? But we much like Jesus, cling to this, what we have here. But we can have joy, overwhelming joy, by just praising Him and thanking Him for all things. Thank you for patiently listening to this message. It means a lot to me. And as you can tell, I love Children's Church. I'm in Kids Corner, and I just love to laugh and everything. I cut up. I look at Miss Sharon sometimes, Miss Sharon Burdick, and I just walk up to her and just look at her, and she just starts laughing. And that makes me feel good. Of course, she might be doing it out of sympathy. I don't know. But I really think of it just making me feel good. So, we just got to love the lady. She's something else. Anyway.